Welcome to On Demand with Jenna Ellis. This is the brand new podcast here from the American Family Radio Network. I'm your host, Jenna Ellis, and you traditionally have listened to me on Jenna Ellis in the Morning, which is on our radio network and also our streaming side at AFR.net. But we are starting this brand new podcast On Demand because we will be covering all of the issues that are on demand that you, our listeners, want to hear more about. Because on the radio side, of course, as the first live show in the morning, it is my great privilege and pleasure to bring the top trending headlines on politics, news of the day, culture, biblical worldview, of course, the biblical worldview analysis each and every morning. And we obviously in 1 hour can't cover everything. So we can't also go as in-depth as I would prefer. Sometimes we do get to have our Friday shows, as regular listeners will know. Our Friday shows are kind of that deep dive into a topic that can be a little bit more expansive. And so that kind of really set the stage for what I want to do with this podcast are our Friday shows, where I want to take a topic, or maybe just start with a topic or a guest that can come and talk more substantively in a format that we have kind of unlimited time. I mean, this is the nature of podcasts, is that we can do this for 20 minutes or we can do it for 2 hours if there is a topic. There was an episode of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. There's a Friday show with my good friend, Pastor Daryl Harrison, out of Gilbert Bible Church in Arizona. And we talked about Marxism, the definition of Marxism, what cultural Marxism means, the difference between Marxism versus the biblical worldview for government and for society and in general, and also for the church. And man, I tell you, that episode, I could have gone 3 hours with Daryl Harrison. And that's why his podcast often is 2.5, 3 hours. Most of the time, On Demand is not going to be that long. I know that a lot of you who stream, you don't necessarily have that much time over the weekends. But that's really what our focus is going to be, is to take some of these really important topics, especially with our U.S. Constitution, with world history, with cultural events, and really drill down and give you the best education on some of the topics that we can, and with some really great guests in a format that allows us to do that deep dive. So you can listen to Jenna Ellis in the Morning, Monday through Friday, and then we're dropping this podcast once a week on Fridays so that you can take that time to go into the weekend and learn more. So so we are really excited for On Demand. And if you have ideas and you have topics that you really want to hear about and you have questions, I get so many listener comments saying, you know, hey, you mentioned briefly on Jenna Ellis in the Morning this one topic, and I want to know more about that. I want to know, I wanted you to talk about that even more. Well, email me, Jenna@AFR.net, and ask your questions, whether they're theological topics, they're about the U.S. Constitution, they're about a Supreme Court decision, they're about a headline that you read, they're about, you know, something in the news, there's something about, you know, something in history, or maybe even a book you read. Email those topics. Obviously can't guarantee that we'll get to every topic, but I want to hear from you what you would like to hear on demand. And so for today, On Demand, one of the things, and I think one of the biggest topics that listeners always want to hear more about is our constitutional structure and our U.S. Constitution. And so just to set the stage for where On Demand is going, these are topics that are so incredibly important. And I used to be a professor at Colorado Christian University, and in my former home state before I moved to Florida. And one of the things that I taught there was a course for undergraduates on constitutional law. And most law schools that teach constitutional law, they think of it as the body of law and jurisprudence that is the Supreme Court's opinions. And so all of those volumes. And so our U.S. Constitution, in that sense, then, is fluid. It is beholden to the majority opinion of 9 robed oligarchs, and there are just volumes and volumes of opinions that composite our U.S. Constitution. And obviously, we as American patriots know that's not actually our U.S. Constitution. No. We need to start well before that in the couple of pages that is our U.S. Constitution as a document. And now when I taught that course, you might think, okay, only a couple of pages, it's only 7 articles, that could take maybe an hour, right? Well, no, I taught a 16-week course on the Constitution. And that's and we're not going to take 16 weeks on the Constitution here, but I'm setting the stage for this to tell you that there are so many things and so many issues, and we didn't even get to all of it in those 16 weeks that it was, an hour session each time. But to just go through the nuts and bolts of what patriots and concerned citizens need to understand about the structure of our Constitution. So some of those issues can be like what vice presidential nominee from the Democrat Party, Tim Walz, said earlier this week, that we need to abolish the Electoral College. Well, we as Christians, as conservatives, as Americans, need to have an informed response to that. Do we know what the Electoral College is? Do we know why it was originally implemented? Do we know why the founders who argued for the ratification of the U.S. Constitution, and specifically Alexander Hamilton and Federalist 68, promoted the Electoral College as part of our government system? I mean, those are all things that we could spend an hour on and say, here is what the Electoral College does. Here's the rationale for why it was established. And here are the reasons that, by the way, it is still a good thing. But we can have those conversations and those arguments as well to say, does that actually make sense today? Because one of the things that is implicit in our Constitution is the ability to amend it, to say, well, you know what? Our founders didn't actually get everything right in terms of the separation of powers and how powers are limited from one branch or one agency or one elected official. And so we can determine to redistribute those powers through Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. And we've done that 27 times in our nation's history. And I would argue some of those amendments, very good. Some of those amendments, not so good. That was another question that one of our listeners wrote in. And one of the episodes that we'll be doing coming up soon is all about the popular election of U.S. senators. If you didn't know, in our original Constitution, we did not popularly elect U.S. senators. They were appointed by their state legislatures. And the rationale for that, of course, is that the states needed to have much more of a say and actually more power over the federal government than the federal government has over the states. That's our concept of federalism. And federalism is this whole idea that we have the states as the government that is closest to the people, and that states can determine for themselves how they choose to enact the policy under their limited powers, but that they participate and actually have more control over Washington than Washington has strings attached to the states. That was the original design and conception of the Constitution. And with the 17th Amendment, we changed that. And instead of U.S. senators being appointed by the state legislatures, then now they're popularly elected just like the House of Representatives. So they're almost indistinguishable, and you just have two chambers in Congress that are popularly elected. And so a lot of people think, well, what's really the difference between the Senate and the House? Well, there are actually a lot of distinctions, and in terms of some of the constitutional powers that the Senate has that the House does not. Well, why is that? Because the founders wanted the states ultimately and their representatives. Senators were supposed to represent the states, not the people in the states, but the leadership of the states. And so they gave specific powers intentionally to the Senate, then now all of this has been watered down. So if you're wondering, why do we find ourselves in this vast morass of problems with censorship, with gun regulation that isn't anywhere in terms of our Second Amendment? What is our Bill of Rights even doing? What about the 14th Amendment? What about women's right to vote? And, should we raise the voting age from age 18? Where did that even come from? I mean, all of these questions are really solid, good questions that we have to ask and answer so that we can be better educated, good stewards of our constitutional republic. And so those are just some of the questions that we are going to get to through on demand. And, you know, these are this to me are just some of the absolutely fascinating topics that I love to study and why I went to law school and why I wrote my book, The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution. It's a book that helps Christians understand the Constitution in context. All of these things are fascinating to me as an American, as a Christian, and as someone who wants to be a good steward of my country. And then also, I, of course, fundamentally, I am a theologian as a Christian, because every Christian needs to know and understand and practice in your Christian life the Word of God. We can't just have a passion for God but not know who the person of truth is. I mean, imagine if you thought you wanted to have a relationship with your parents or as a parent with your kids, but you never actually got to know them. You didn't have a personal relationship with them. I mean, the reason that I can guess if I'm, you know, going Christmas shopping coming up soon for my parents, and I can say, oh yeah, my dad would definitely like that t-shirt, but no, he's not going to like that one. There are reasons for that. Why? I can predict that because I know my dad. I know his personality. I know his likes and dislikes. Those are the types of things, not just, you know, the t-shirt preferences, but we need to know and be able to predict what God himself, as the sovereign author of the universe, thinks about a policy issue or about a church issue or about how we need to make decisions in our daily Christian life. We can know that if we know the person of truth. And why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so substantive theology, these topics like why should America support Israel? That's a topic that I want to cover. We've covered that some, and, you know, unfortunately, in the brief time that we have sometimes during the segments of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, you know, I get into this, but I want to get into it a lot deeper here on Demand, because we need to understand, why do Christians support Israel? Why should the nation of America continue to support Israel? Should we? I mean, there is a vast and an ever-increasing swath of Gen Zers who are Christian, pro-America, and say, hey, America first means we need to care about our country well before we even engage over in Israel. Are they right? Do they have a point? I want to get a couple guests on and talk about this, because I think we too often conflate a lot of the scriptures and misapply them to talk about supporting Israel in the sense that Israel is God's chosen people. Now, that's true in the Old Testament, but we know from the life, death, and resurrection of the person of truth and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that now the Gentiles were grafted in. And while we are in the New Testament, that it's not that the church has replaced Israel, and we can talk about replacement theology and that substantively. I did a great episode with Alex McFarland on a Friday on that topic on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. But we can talk about, okay, so how does this look now that anyone, no matter their heritage and their birth lineage, can come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, accept him as Messiah? We don't have to convert to Judaism. We don't have the Old Testament. We don't follow the Old Testament Mosaic law. So we have to talk about the differences of the covenants in Scripture, the Abrahamic, Mosaic, and Davidic covenants. Do you know as a Christian the differences between those? And when people are talking about supporting Israel, often Christians are talking about the Mosaic covenant when they should be talking about the Abrahamic covenant starting in Genesis 12, talking about God promised to the nation of Israel into perpetuity for as long as the earth persists, that the land, when we're talking about the Holy Land, that the land is given to the nation of Israel. So why should America support the nation of Israel when they have this conflict between the Palestinians that are descendants of Ishmael versus the Israelites that are the descendants of Abraham through the child of promise in Isaac? Well, because we believe that God keeps his covenants, he keeps his promises. And when he promised the land to the nation of Israel, he keeps his promise. And so we support the nation of Israel in the land, not because they're God's chosen people or because of any soteriology or salvation issue, but because the land was promised to them. And so, you know, all of these issues are so important. And one of the best things that I received in my education through my parents. Through a lot of you who've listened to my show regularly know that I was homeschooled all the way through, that I've been a Christian from a very young age, but of course have grown in my faith. Every Christian should be growing in our faith and daily become more perfected toward the image of Christ. I hope we can all look back on who we were even last year or a decade ago and see that kind of sanctification progress as we look forward to ultimately being with our Lord and Savior, whether Christ returns or calls us home, and being sanctified through salvation. And so as I've continued to grow in my faith, of course, I've grown also in my knowledge of the Lord, application of biblical principles to the Christian life. And one of the things that my parents gave me that was the greatest inheritance from my parents was reading through the Bible every year from the time my brothers and I were little. We read through the Bible once a year, from beginning to end. So I saw the whole counsel of God. And so if you're at a church that does topical sermons, you know, that's great. Topics are great. But if you never read the Bible from cover to cover and don't understand the full story from Genesis to Revelation, then you miss a lot and you miss the narrative of salvation. You miss all of these different aspects of the person of God, his movements throughout history, how he created from nothing, spoke the universe into existence. We are a word-based universe. And then obviously God sent the Word became flesh. We see in John and in 1 John, the Word became flesh, the Word, the person of truth. And we need to see from the very beginning, and I am a six-day literal creationist because I believe that God told us in history and in his story how he created, and then he told us literally in Revelation how the end of all things will end, because God is the author of creation and the author of the universe has told us the beginning and the end and a lot of the middle. And we see God's movements throughout history, throughout church history, through the Old Testament and his plan for salvation, initially through the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, and then with the coming and the promise that the Messiah would come. Then the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God became flesh, the incarnation of Christ, the second person of the Trinity came, his earthly ministry as foretold and prophesied in Scripture, and then he died for our sins. He literally rose from the grave 3 days later, conquered death, and now in the church age and in the end times, as we see in the New Testament, we've been in the end times since the ascension of Christ, then if we believe that Christ came, that he lived, he died for our sins, he rose from the grave, and that we trust him with our salvation and as the way, the truth, and the life, and the way to the Father, then we are saved. And that is true for everyone who accepts the free gift of salvation. So if we see all of that story and we see the truth of the gospel, the good news, then we understand how to live our Christian life. And so we need to understand not just the political narrative of the great civilizations that have risen and fallen, which include America. It's a great civilization. It's risen. Will it fall? May it fall? We're on a precipice right now of world history of Western civilization. Could it fall? May it? I hope it does not, but that depends on how much we are preserving the blessings of liberty. So we see the political rise and fall of nations throughout the scope of world history, but we see that in tandem with God's narrative, with his story, with his prophecies in Scripture, with the grand narrative of Scripture. And so we need to understand more substantively, not just the political history and policy and the Constitution, but we need to understand God's story and the person of truth as well, and see how theology necessarily implicates our civil society, how the church should function in the New Testament era, and also the family government. So all of these topics are so important. And one of the things that my parents did that was amazing, so not only did we read that full scope of Scripture, but we also learned world history chronologically from Genesis through the major civilizations, you know, the Egyptians and you know, the Babylonians, all the way through the Greeks, the Romans, and then the Middle Ages, and then, you know, through the Renaissance and Reformation, and then through the founding fathers and, you know, coming over to truly regain religious freedom in America, and that whole scope of what happened in light of the Lord, in light of truth. And we need to explore those topics as well. So I know that that's been, you know, kind of a grand scale of a lot of ways that we're going to take this podcast. But I hope that gives you not only excitement for On Demand, but also some encouragement and some ideas of where this podcast is going to go. So again, for those topics, whether it's a very, very targeted issue, like I want to know the history of the 14th Amendment and, you know, why, or I want to know how we can argue for a federal abortion ban, or, you know, I want to know about the Electoral College, or, you know, I want to know why is the Renaissance and Reformation so important, or what's the difference between Protestants and Catholics, or what does the Bible say about supporting Israel, or did God really say X, Y, Z? I mean, all of these questions we must contemplate as Christians if we are going to understand how to live rightly. As Chuck Colson very famously said, and also Francis Schaeffer, how should we live? How now shall we live? How should we then live? Those are the questions that deserve and merit an answer. So here on Demand, we are going to talk about those topics and give those answers with some really, really great guests. So again, if you have questions, if you have topic suggestions, email me and my great producers, Jenna@AFR.net, Jenna@AFR.net. And I'll look forward to seeing you next Friday on Demand.